morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Holy Week, the challenges facing newspapers due to coronavirus, and how outdoor recreation can be more complicated during the pandemic. It's Friday, April 3rd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana is reporting 241 known cases of the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus as of Thursday afternoon, though health officials say there are likely more untested cases in the state. 5 people have died because of the virus. 24 people have been hospitalized. On Tuesday, Governor Steve Bullock said 32 people have recovered. The Montana Public Health Lab ran 238 tests yesterday. The lab has run nearly 5,500 total. Those numbers do not include tests sent from hospitals to private labs. Sunday is the start of Holy Week, the time from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday when Christians recall the events leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. Kay Erickson reports the worship services this week for congregations around Billings and elsewhere are going to be very different.
This year, the Easter egg hunts, sunrise services, and public worships have been canceled and replaced with digital and stream services.
We are creating services specific for people to view in their living room.
That's Jordan Steingraber, Communications Director for Faith Chapel in Billings.
Even before we got to this place, we had been streaming our services online, and so we had some experience and some technology already in place to help us continue to do that.
Other churches in Billings, like Faith Chapel, have been regularly streaming online services, while other congregations went digital these last few weeks when Governor Steve Bullock's stay-at-home order was put into place. Despite the cancellation of many Holy Week gatherings, pastors around Billings report services will still happen electronically on Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, as well as Easter Sunday, with messages specific to that day. Several congregations will take the opportunity to celebrate communion this week, although online. Parishioners will be asked to have bread and juice or wine with them during the service so that the clergy can bless the elements remotely. And this weekend, the United Methodist Churches in Billings will have palms available for people to pick up, wave in celebration, and share their photos online with their congregation. For those congregations like Faith Chapel that are old hands at streaming worship services, Steingraber says social distancing is still a new experience.
Not being able to sing or experience a message together physically in the same place, it's different.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The Montana Department of Labor says it issued more than 35,000 unemployment insurance payments in the last week of March. The uptick is attributed to Montanans losing work hours as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. A federal relief package signed into law last week will add an additional $600 per week to unemployment payments. Those funds are not yet available, but will be backdated to the week of March 27th. The federal relief package also extended unemployment benefits to self-employed, gig, and contract workers. The state labor department received nearly 500,000 phone calls from March 23rd through April 1st, a volume it calls unprecedented. The department's website has crashed at times due to high volume of visitors. DLI says it trained 70 job service and employment relations employees to answer frequently asked questions by phone. It encourages laid-off workers to apply for benefits at montanaworks.gov. The State Health Department is expanding hours and staffing of call-in phone lines for mental health therapy and suicide prevention. As Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports, this comes amid a surge of requests from Montanans seeking emotional support during the ongoing coronavirus crisis.
If you're losing sleep, feeling unusually anxious, lonely, angry, or depressed, You're not alone. The world is a scary place these days.
And we want to make sure that there are resources out there for people who are struggling during this time.
That's Zoe Barnard, who leads the state health department's addictive and mental disorders division. Barnard says there's a growing demand for mental health services that Montanans can get from home. The state health department is expanding call-in hours to what's called the Montana Warm Line.
It is not a therapy line. It's not a hotline. It's a real human connection for people that might be struggling emotionally.
The warm line typically gets between 250 and 300 calls per month. Barnard says it received that many calls in the last week and a half. The state health department says it's increased funding going to the warm line and other mental health call-in lines to pay for increasing staff hours.
Governor Bullock has identified mental health crisis needs as a priority amongst the many priorities at this time. And so we will, of course, attempt to access federal funding if that becomes available. But this is a big enough priority that we've just found a way to pay for it.
Montana is consistently ranked among the top five states for its rate of suicide deaths. Montana's two suicide prevention call centers typically get about 18 calls a day. But between March 13th and the 31st, state officials say they fielded an average of 39 calls a day. The Montana Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock is asking the U.S. Census Bureau to extend the self-response deadline for the decennial headcount. Bullock wants the deadline pushed back from mid-August to September 30th. In a letter to U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross dated Thursday, Bullock says hard-to-count and rural populations may be missed, as some strategies are no longer viable due to response measures to the coronavirus. The U.S. Census Bureau recently suspended field operations until mid-April. Montana could gain a second seat in U.S. Congress and see increased federal funding with every resident counted. As of yesterday, about a third of Montanans had responded to the 2020 census by mail, phone, or online. Cascade, Lewis and Clark, and Yellowstone counties lead the pack with 40% response rates. Rural counties in eastern Montana average response rates in the teens and lower. According to a 2018 report from Headwaters Economics, nearly 90% of Montanans participate in outdoor recreation for physical and mental well-being. But safety concerns amid the novel coronavirus outbreak are complicating how people get outside. Montana Public Radio's Nick Mott reports.
It's a powder day in Missoula, so folks are flocking to the local ski hill.
That hill is called Snowbowl. Of course, the resort itself is closed due to coronavirus. I'm hiking to the top to go for a ski. In the snowy parking lot, one thing stands out to me immediately.
A lot of cars.
I count about 50 at the uphill access parking. All those cars could mean congestion on the trail, skiers not practicing social distancing, or safety hazards in the event of an avalanche or bad fall that could stress an already stretched thin medical system. Due to coronavirus, people who recreate outside are forced to confront new dilemmas about where, when, and how to get outdoors. But they're still encouraged to do so. Governor Steve Bullock's stay-at-home order directly mentioned outdoor recreation on public lands as an acceptable activity, provided participants take safety measures. Rachel Schmidt is the director of the Montana Governor's Office of Outdoor Recreation.
That means the hiking and the biking and the running and the walking and all of those other things. We can do those things in a safe manner, close to home, 6 feet away from each other.
In national forests and state land across Montana, trails generally remain open. Still, state and federal officials have taken measures to reduce the potential for spread of the virus on public lands, including closing campgrounds, bathrooms, and group recreation sites. Popular hike-in hot springs in Idaho are closed to bathers, and violators could face fines in the thousands of dollars. Glacier and Yellowstone National Parks are also closed to visitors. So people are still free to recreate outside, but sports like skiing are a bit tricky. An avalanche near Telluride, Colorado last week seriously injured a skier, drawing more than 30 people into a rescue effort and diverting valuable medical attention away from the local COVID-19 response. Ski areas across the country have reported issues with parking and crowding due to uphill traffic.
The safest thing to do is to stay home.
That's Spencer Bradford, education director at the West Central Montana Avalanche Foundation. In Montana, official policies on skiing uphill differ across the state. Here at Snow Bowl, uphill access is still allowed. The same is true at Whitefish, but a notice on their website reads, quote, "Now is not the time to get injured, to put yourself or put others at risk." On their websites, Bridger Bowl and Red Lodge both, quote, "strongly advise against uphill travel due to safety concerns amid the pandemic, although it's still technically allowed." Big Sky prohibits all uphill access while the resort is closed. Cook City Silvergate, a popular backcountry ski destination, banned all travel to the area from non-residents.
If you do decide to go out, you need to add in a little bit of extra risk mitigation.
He says the coronavirus means skiers should add a new factor into their calculus, the well-being of their communities should something go wrong. An accident could both clog up hospital resources and take search and rescue teams out of isolation, risking exposure. Bradford says skiers should be intimately familiar with avalanche conditions, ski conservatively and well below their ability levels, drive alone to trailheads, and generally stay off slopes greater than 30 degrees where avalanches are most likely to occur. Other activities, like rock climbing, also warrant special precautions.
Climbers should generally avoid rock climbing.
That's Damian Mast, a board member at the Western Montana Climbers Coalition.
There's just a certain amount of touching ropes, touching gear, putting things in your mouth that is just not safe.
Popular climbing areas across the country, like the Bishop area in California and New Hampshire's Rumney, have shut down access entirely. That hasn't happened yet in Montana. But a climber in the Custer-Gallatin National Forest was injured in a rappelling accident last weekend, instigating a 12-hour rescue effort. Still, outdoor activity can mean better overall health and a reprieve from the loneliness of hunkering down at home. Rachel Schmidt of the Office of Outdoor Recreation again.
I love the fact that I'm looking out my window at any given time, or when I'm out on a walk with my family, there are tons of people out walking, just spending time together.
Back at Snow Bowl, I'm nearing the summit.
If you're stuck in your house, isolated all the time, nothing sounds more appealing than a day in the mountains.
This is a big mountain, so despite all the cars, I only see about six other skiers on my route. And from a distance, each of them also offers a big, wide smile. I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
News is having a moment amid the novel coronavirus. Subscriptions and website clicks are up, paywalls are down, but business closures mean less advertising revenue for papers. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle recently announced 30-hour work weeks. The Great Falls Tribune is having workers who make more than $38,000 a year take a week of unpaid leave each month until June. Lee Enterprises, which owns the papers in Billings, Missoula, Helena, and Butte, announced two-week furloughs for all employees. I spoke with Eric Dietrich of the Montana Free Press about the challenges facing newspapers during the pandemic. Every one of the daily newspapers in Montana's seven major urban areas are looking at staff furloughs. And I mean, that's happening across the country.
Yeah, it is.
And I think a lot of people are under the impression right now that newspapers are doing really well right now because there's a lot of news to be had.
For sure. Yeah, this is clearly, we're clearly in a moment where there's tremendous public interest in reliable information about how the coronavirus outbreak is impacting their communities. Everybody I've talked to in the Montana newspaper industry the past week is looking at least with web traffic, record readership. But the fundamental conundrum is that web readership doesn't necessarily translate into revenue that can pay journalists to do the reporting that people want.
Yeah, and why exactly is that?
So there are short-term and long-term reasons for that. Start with the long-term reason. Back in the good old, you know, the good old days for newspapers, newspapers were the dominant advertising players in their communities for the most part, and made a tremendous amount of money off of selling print ads with comfortable profit margins. But as the internet have come in, the way the economics of advertising work there, those markets tend to be dominated by Facebook and Google and those sorts of companies. And so newspapers just aren't able to make as much money on online advertising as they once did with print ads. And so that's been a long-term trend. You know, everybody's seen the news about intermittent cuts at newspapers in Montana and elsewhere. even in good times. And then with the coronavirus outbreak, which of course has like chilled all large swaths of our economy right now, that's been brought to a head. So many of the advertisers that newspapers rely on, local stores and restaurants, they're mostly closed. So there's been this sudden cliff in local ad revenues that has just brought everybody in the industry to their knees.
What about rural papers? Are they in the same boat as places like the Billings Gazette?
To some extent, yes. And I think it's important to understand and distinguish between the urban daily papers like the Gazette or the Bozeman Chronicle or the Great Falls Tribune and the smaller papers in the state, which generally publish weekly instead of daily. The urban daily papers both have larger staffs. They produce most of the original reporting in the state just because they have more people. They're for the most part owned by out-of-state companies. But those rural papers are often literally mom-and-pop community businesses. Oftentimes it's, you know, half the couple is the editor, the other half the couple like runs the business operations. But right now they're getting hit hard like every small business in the state. Like they're saying the same cliff with their local businesses being shut down and not advertising. I was talking to the owners of a four paper chain out of Cut Bank for this piece I reported, and they'd normally be getting event advertisements this time of year for things like basketball tournaments and bank sponsored Easter egg hunts, but those aren't happening, so those advertising dollars just aren't there, so they're scrambling to figure out how to accommodate that.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that I've heard from smaller papers is that when you don't have any money to begin with, things like this sometimes don't make as big of an impact as they might on a larger newspaper, because when you're already working with the smallest staff that you can, then you can't make any staff cuts. I actually spoke with Kelly Miller, who's the publisher of the Sydney Herald and then the Williston Herald, which is in North Dakota. And she was saying that she expects larger changes to come out of the larger papers than she expects to have to implement at the Sydney Herald. With social media, there are other ways for people to get information right now. You reported that state government has been streaming the governor's press conferences. So why should people worry about newspapers?
Yeah, so government agencies have been getting better at getting basic information out directly to people using social media channels. But the question isn't, is that information going to be able to get out if newspapers have diminished reporting ranks? The question is, who's going to hassle the governor's office when the state's numbers don't make sense? And that's going to be reporters. Most of the original reporting on civic issues in Montana is still done by newspaper reporters. There are, of course, other types of news outlets, public radio, nonprofits like the Montana Free Press, where I work. And I like to think we do good work, like we provide quite a bit of value to the public, but there just aren't as many of us working there as there are in traditional newspapers. You know, if you're one of the people, one of the thousands of people tuning into the governor's press conference right now, if you listen closely to who's asking the questions that push him on the details of the things he's saying, that try to get him to talk about maybe things he doesn't want to talk about, it's largely people who work in newspapers. And my worry is that if those folks are being furloughed, they're not going to be there at those conferences to ask those questions.
Yeah, it's definitely a difficult situation when you have a lot of news to report on, but way less people to actually report on it. And I think that that's a problem that has become more and more prevalent in newspapers, coronavirus or not. Speaking about what comes next for journalists, I know that there are a ton of other strategies going into the future here.
So in terms of what comes next, so there are two things. Again, the smaller news, smaller locally owned community newspapers are in a different situation than the large urban dailies. And the primary thing there is that small newspapers can qualify for small business assistance. The same programs that have existed for years or have been amped up by the big federal stimulus bill that was signed into law last week. I've heard from a couple people who run small papers in Montana that they're in the process of applying for those right now. It's less clear whether the big newspaper chains will benefit from the stimulus bill provisions that are designed to benefit larger companies. There's the $500 billion pot of money that you hear about. However, in a bigger picture sense, addressing the long-term set of issues we've talked about, the real push right now is for reader revenues, which historically have been a rather small part, like 20% or less of the revenue pie for those newspapers. What we're seeing now is we're seeing newspapers and individual reporters who work for newspapers and would like to continue having jobs push for subscriptions, which is a more approach that's more similar to what you folks at public radio have been doing for decades, which is to you kind of try to do work that earns enough goodwill and hope people value it enough to turn around and support it. So that's the strategy that people seem to be adopting right now. It's also the business model at the Montana Free Press where I work. However, as Lee Vanville, the journalism professor I talked to, put it, that's a big shift for these large newspaper companies that have been built, their businesses are built around a different way of engaging with their readers. And so it's unclear whether they'll be able to make that shift. But at the same time, like we're at a moment where if there's any time when newspapers can really provide value to the readers and articulate that value and build goodwill, it's right now while we're in the middle of this global crisis.
I definitely agree that now more than ever, people are seeing the importance of journalism. Well, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us. And we will, of course, link to your story on our website, ypradio.org.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to discuss this with you.
I spoke with Eric Dietrich, a reporter for the Montana Free Press, about the financial challenges facing Montana newspapers due to coronavirus. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.